We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down, Detroit Lions. T.J. Hockenson, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to our live post-game show. I'm your host for today, Malcolm. As you hear the music in the background, this is a celebration. We have beat the Green Bay Packers. Matter of fact, wait, hold on. Let me bring it back real quick. Let me just bring it back real quick while we're celebrating this moment as we beat the Green Bay Packers. I do have my good guy here, Pierre. How you doing, Pierre?
I am doing great.
Man, how's your mood right? How's your mood right now, man?
I'm in a great mood, man.
Man, let's go, man. I know I wanted the number one overall pick, but man, let's go, man.
I don't care about the draft pick, one or two. It's still a high pick. Thibodeau or Hutch, whoever's there, you're still getting a hell of a player.
Man, you're still getting a good. You're top two pick. You're still top two pick. We beat the Packers. I mean, we gave them hell even with the starters out there. This was a very, very, very fun game. I honestly enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure all Lions fans enjoyed this game. This was a great game.
Yeah.
You have any takeaways from this game, Pierre? What was your thoughts on this game?
Well, we talked about pregame. I said the Lions are going to put all the tricks out the backs. Fake punts, they did that. It was a drop by Godwin. It was a great pass by Jack Fox. We talked about pulling out the tricks on offense, and they did that as well. They mixed it up with Rodgers. They bring pressure. They disguised some coverages. We talked about that as well. And then I got to be honest, man, the Packers had to be praying Aaron Rodgers is going to be back next year. Jordan Love ain't it.
I don't know, man. I right now, if you had to ask me, like, all right, do I think Aaron Rodgers is going to – I don't know right now. I don't know if he's going to come back. For some reason, like, something inside of me is saying they're gonna probably work it out, because if the Packers lose Aaron Rodgers, you're stuck with Jordan Love. That's not a good thing. It's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Man, forget about Jordan Love, though. The defense at the end, C.J. Moore with the pick. The guy barely plays on defense. Made a big tackle with that screen pass. Comes and gets a pick. And then the offense, they get a field goal. What do they do again? The defense comes out and gets another pick. Tracy Walker. Joina Quara with the pressure. Tracy Walker with the pick. Malcolm, they got to pay Walker, bro. They really do.
#PayWalker? Is that what's going on right now? That's what's going on right now? #PayTheMan.
In all caps.
Pay the man. Yeah, I'm with it. I think he should get paid. The thing is, he's gonna get paid regardless if we bring him, regardless if we pay him or somebody else pays him. He's gonna get paid. He's gonna get paid regardless.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the Lions come out with the W. Is there anything you didn't like about this game, Pierre? Like, is it something that was like, ugh?
Not really. Maybe stopping the run. The run defense was a little bad. But we kind of knew that going into today that we weren't really going to stop the run.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough on the ground. They did a lot better than they did last week. Last week they had no answer. Last week it was disgusting. But
right,
they still ran the ball on us. It is what it is, man. I don't know what's going on with Godwin and Iggy Buke. Is he on a 1-year deal?
So you know? He was an undrafted rookie. They get 3-year deals, but his contract is not guaranteed. So they can move on if they want to move on.
Yeah, I think that's the situation. Because man, he's just been his name like his like to me like when I call him can't get right. Like he keeps screwing up. Whether it's fumbling the ball, like Jack Fox today threw an absolute dime to him. The ball went right through his hands. It's tough. Yep. Very, very, very tough. But besides that, man, this was an awesome-ass game. Jared Goff again.
Jared Goff played well. There was one series where he was actually, like, really bad. And I was like, oh, here we go again, where he would, like, spun himself almost into a sack, threw, like, a bad pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown. But it was only those three plays. After that, he settled down a little. Even the O-line, like, what was going on? They had a lot of injuries. Decker got hurt during the game. Evan Brown got hurt. They bring in McCollum. McCollum struggles. They bench McCollum. They put Jonah Jackson to center. Tommy Kramer at left guard. There was a lot of shuffling with the O-line. I thought they held up pretty well.
Yeah, they actually played really good.
With those pass rushers. Yeah, we talked
about that. Yeah, with their situation. Yeah, they played really, really, really good. But Jared Goff, man, I feel like we could actually win with Jared Goff. I really do. Like, if you asked me this question like 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, I would probably throw up in my mouth. But, man, if you put some pieces around him, you know, give him our full O-line, you know, give him our running game, add another receiver, maybe draft a receiver. Shoot, I don't know, man. I think you can actually be successful with Jared Goff.
I'm not there yet. I want to see more. I want to see how he looks next year with some probably better weapons, much improved offense. I want to see how he looks next year. I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet? I mean, since December, it was like the first week of December, he's been balling. I know he's missed the last couple of games, but when he's been playing, I don't think he has any turnovers. I got to look at the numbers since like December, that first week of December. I got to look at the numbers. I think he has no turnovers, but yeah, man, I really do believe that, you know, he's proven in the past. Proven in the past that you put a team around him, you put a good situation around him, he could win. He took a team, you know, he went to the Super Bowl with a solid, solid, solid team. So I don't know, man. I think I'm back on the Jared Goff hype.
I got a take. People might not agree. I think Dan Campbell should stay the play caller.
Absolutely. I love it. I love what he's doing. I mean, Ben Johnson's going to be in his ear next year, too. It is what it is. Just keep things the same. You know, if they do, there's a big chance that we could start fast offensively from day one. And if we could do that, we could have a much better product, football product on the field if they do that. So, yeah, I'm hoping Dan Campbell is our play caller, man. That's a good look for Dan Campbell, man. Most of the great head coaches, they do this. They do double. They either call the defensive plays and head coach or they call the offensive plays and head coach. The great coaches do it. The Super Bowl champion head coaches, that's what they do.
Yeah. The reason why I say that, Malcolm, is like he gets like they're missing all these guys, right? And Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he's moving him around. He's like using him on jets, moving him in the slot, moving him outside. He's finding ways to scheme him open. Where like the previous OCs, nothing against him, they didn't really do that much. Like Campbell knows how to use his personnel. He's moving guys around. He's getting them in space. He's getting them favorable matchups. We didn't really see that with, like, for example, Bevel or Linehan or Jim Bob Cooter or Lombardi.
Yeah, we didn't, man. And I actually was a fan of Bevel because of his vertical offense, but I really like what they're doing here. I really like what they're doing. And then, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown with another back-to-back 100-yard game. Last week was his first 100-yard game. He follows up with another 100-yard game. His 8 reception streak continues. He has another eight reception game. I said this about 5 weeks ago that we're able to watch this kid develop and become an elite receiver between like right in front of our very own eyes. I got a lot of heat from it. People are saying he's not elite. I wasn't calling him. I'm saying we're watching him become elite. And this is great. This is a great thing because we are watching this kid become elite. This kid can do it all. He's becoming one of my favorite receivers right now.
Absolutely. He also talked about in the beginning of the year how he had to improve on his yak, and he did that today.
Ooh,
he was breaking tackles. He was making guys miss. He has a bright future here, man.
He's fearless, man. He's like 5'10", 6 foot around there, but he plays like he's 6'5", 230, the way he plays, man. He plays big.
Yeah, he does.
I love his aggression. I love the way he's on the field. I'm all around saying Brown is it. I like that guy. Great pick by Detroit, man.
Yeah, now let's go to the defense side of the ball. I was actually impressed with one player specifically, Julian Okwara. I believe he had 2 sacks. And then he was pressuring the quarterback constantly today. And we talked about that pregame. We're like, who's going to step up? And he stepped up, right?
He sure did. Yeah, he did. He was a guy. You're saying that there's going to be a guy that's going to, you know, that has to go against a right tackle. And I was like, who's going to step up? And yeah, it was Julian Okwara. He was the guy that stepped up. He had a great game. I loved it.
Was it two? I don't know if it was a sack or 2 sacks, but he was causing havoc in the backfield.
Yeah, they said that he had 2 sacks.
Yeah. Another guy that balled out. I think Aleem McNeil played his best game as a Lion today.
Aleem McNeil, yeah, he did. He had a solid game, man. Creating a lot of pressure from the interior, man.
Yeah, I thought he was good in the running game on a couple plays, too.
He was, man. You know what? This defense, I knew they wasn't going to have back-to-back atrocious games. And they actually stepped up this week, and they played a lot better than they did last week. So that was a good job, again, to Aaron Glenn. I knew he was going to get these guys ready to have a better defensive game. But, yeah, man, they played a lot better.
Right. I don't really have nothing else to say. I mean, they ran the ball okay. 26 carries, 99 yards, 3.8 yards per carry. Not the best, but, like, it's not like they were really bad at it. Malcolm, you actually, your bold prediction, was it your bold prediction? Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond both have over 100 yards.
Oh, shit. Well,
you hit your bold prediction.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. I didn't even realize that Khalif Raymond had 100 yards. You know, it was that trick play. That was a beautiful play. They actually had Khalif Raymond lined up in the backfield. He was lined up as the running back. And when they did like the little reverse trickery and ended up with Tom Kennedy getting the ball, he did a little wheel route and he was just wide open. That was awesome, man. That was a great design.
Yeah, like I said, man, Campbell with the passing game, the running game, what he's done. Today he was in his bag. He was calling the great game.
Yeah, he let it all out today. Definitely let it all out today. I mean, that's what he's supposed to do. Week 17, everything out on the field. I mean,
right.
We can't take it to next week. Can't take it to the playoffs. So you might as well just let it all out. I mean, they worked on this. They probably worked on these plays all year long. But he just never dialed it up. So now you got a chance to dial up these plays. It worked. I loved it, man. I told you, man, these type of games where they do all these trickery stuff, it's so fun. It makes the game so fun. So I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, especially watching the Packers lose, even though it means absolutely nothing to them. It was just good. It was good to see.
Wasn't LaFleur 5-1 against or 5-0 against the Lions? He finally lost against the Lions, right? Now he's 5-1.
Was he 5-0 against the Lions? I know they said his overall record against the NFC North was some ridiculous record, like 15-2.
Yeah, I don't think LaFleur has lost to the Lions.
Damn, he hasn't lost to us? How long he's been a coach there?
I believe he was 5-0, 3 years, for 3 years.
3 years? 3 years? Did they sweep us 3 years in a row? Maybe. It's possible.
We'll confirm that on the post game, on the like the full recap game.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. It could be. I don't know. I haven't thought of that. Like, man, we haven't beat the Packers that long? Oh, well. We beat them today. That's all that matters.
Yep.
All right, Pierre, you got anything else, man?
Nah, man, that's about it.
All right, let's just bring up some listeners. If you want to come up and celebrate, have anything you want to say, let me know, and we can bring you up. Yep. See what we got here. There we go. We got one request, and this is coming from...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Fellas.
Oh, what's going on, man?
How's it going,
team? One time for the one time, Malcolm. You gotta excuse me, bro. But woo, let's go, man.
Oh, hey. You know what? I'll let you use that, man. Let's go. Look,
overall, that was a great game. Offense, defense, special teams. Like, I mean, we won, but you know, that's a good way, you know, to finish off the season, to look towards the next season. You know, building camaraderie. Hopefully, you know, players want to come here. But I loved it. The game. Amari St. Brown starting to make it. Jared Goff played really good. The defense played solid. Like, that was a great game. Like, and then another thing that didn't kill us today, we really didn't have too many penalties. Did y'all?
We didn't. I think we only had one. Was that offsides by Julian?
That was the only penalty we had. This was a great game. Great game.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think about that. Great wow. game. Good pointing that out, man. That was, yeah.
I'm ecstatic for the offseason.
Me too. And you know what? You actually brought up a really big point about players wanting to come here. For some reason, I feel like Detroit made their case, and I think players probably would want to come to Detroit. I don't know why. Like, if you'd have asked me this 6 weeks ago, I would have said, oh, shit, Detroit has no chance of signing anybody because, you know, we have a bad record. It looks crazy out here. I'm not sure who wants to come out here and play. But these last – since December, they've been playing great football. You kind of see the vision where Detroit's headed to. I feel like they could bring talent here. I really do. Pierre, what is your thoughts on this? Do you feel like with everything that's going on in the past 4 weeks, playing great football, coaching looking great, you know, you have a great defensive coach, you have Dan Campbell calling great plays, do you think they could bring talent in here?
Yes. Just you see the culture. They're 3-3 their last six games, right? They blew Arizona out of the water. They embarrassed them. They put up a good fight against the Packers. They were winning against the starters 17-13, right, at the half. Yeah. So this team is competitive. They are well coached. Why wouldn't you want to play for this team?
I see you too.
I love it. Like I said, I just feel like we got something to build on. Like Jared Goff, you know, he played solid the back end of the season. So, you know, that's kind of something to look forward to going into next year. We got Swift. He's going to be healthy. Hopefully Hawkins can come back healthy. Then we got Amar St. Brown. Like, we got some nice little solid foundation pieces. And then I feel like our offensive line is solid. So, I mean, you put some more talent around a quarterback, receiver, you know, something like that, we'd be solid. And then, you know, you build around the defense. Like, I feel like we really got something to look forward to next year. Right? Hey, I mean, it's still early, but.
Yeah, you're right. Tink, let me ask you a question, man. How comfortable are you with Jared Goff?
Right now, I can't even lie to you. I was dogging Jared Goff all year, but yeah, right now, I ain't gonna say I'm completely sold, but I'm fine with going into next season with Jared Goff the way he just finished off with the little talent. Well, the players he had right now. Like if you put some real talent, like you know what I'm saying, around him, like I feel like skies is the limits because all he doing was building confidence. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just me though.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm there too, man. You know what? I think is more too. I think he's comfortable with the play calling. I think he's comfortable with the players around him. And when he's more comfortable with all that stuff, you see a better product on the field with Jared Goff. You know, absolutely. He doesn't look scared.
Absolutely. Jared Goff played really good today. I'm like, damn, he threw two or three touchdowns. Khalif Raymond, a tight end, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm like, he really played good. But again, like I said, that's something to build towards, you know what I'm saying, going into next season. Because like I said, I watched the whole game. Like defense played good. The core brother had two sacks. Like we played really good. Like big picks when we needed. Like everybody probably, I ain't going to lie though. I felt like the line at the end, I felt like they was trying to lose. I'm like, are they trying to lose to get the number one pick? Like, cause after Green Bay scored, I'm like, wait, it seemed like, but then, you know, they finished off strong. So I'm like, don't lose on purpose. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just finish off the game strong. And they did. So I was sad. I would have been upset if we had a loss because I felt like they would have tried to get a game away, but we won. So I'm happy. Like, you know,
I was just going to ask if you would have been upset if they would have lost this game.
Yeah, I would have because I just feel like at the end of the game, like, it probably was just me, but I just feel like they was trying to give it up, like, because Jacksonville was winning. So, you know, the commentator was like, well, you know, if the Lions lose, they get them. I'm like, we don't, you know, forget losing. Like, let's just finish off strong, you know what I'm saying, and win. Because, again, you know, we want to build a camaraderie and a culture here. Like, and that's good we won. They really play, you know, hard at the end of the game. Like, I love it. Yeah, I mean, we ain't going to the playoffs or nothing. But, again, we building something here, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's more so with it, the foundation. We got cap. We got, you know, good draft capital. Like, I can't wait for the offseason. And then now y'all about to start doing mocks. So I really can't wait.
Yeah, if the mocks are coming soon, man. The mock drafts and the whole free agency talk could start as early as next week, man. So definitely tune into your Spotify's and Apple podcasts. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we will be on there. And we would have our offseason coverage, which I know a lot of our listeners are excited about that. So, yeah, man, absolutely, man. I'm excited, man. I'm excited too, man.
Absolutely.
All right, Tink, do you have anything else, man? I know we have a few more people.
That's it, man. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, Tink, man, have a great one, man. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for joining us.
Y'all fellas too, man. Take it easy.
Yep.
Peace. All right, let's see who else we got next. Let's bring up my dog, the homie. Anonymous, what's happening, man?
Victory speech.
Yo.
Let's go, man.
I'm all in, man. I'm excited. This was fun.
This was a guy who was like, I don't care about this game. He was like, I don't care about this game. Screw this game. It's whatever happens, just going to the offseason.
Yeah, man.
He comes back happy as hell, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah. You had to enjoy this game. What was your thoughts? I want to hear you. What were your thoughts on this game, man?
100% honest, man. You guys were kind of stealing my thunder a little bit talking about free agents coming. So, I mean, just to answer your question, man, I was completely excited this whole game from beginning to end. It was a fun game. All three sides of the ball. Fun. You know, there's nothing else that you can ask for to see a game come end off like this at the end of the season. So, it's a great game. It's just one thing to bring up. Like, it's crazy how long this season is and all the up and downs you go through. Because, like you guys were just saying with Goff, earlier in the season, even midpoint in the season, everybody was done with Goff. He was the worst thing that could happen to Detroit ever out of any sport, and everyone wanted Goff out of here. Same with Dan Campbell calling plays. You know, go back to those, you know, the Cincinnati and was it the Falcons game or, Cleveland and Pittsburgh game. You know, everyone was done with Campbell calling plays, right? And now I think you guys are saying, you know, you wouldn't be upset if he remained the offensive coordinator last year and it's improved so much. So it just shows you how things progress through this season and how individuals progress within their roles as players and coordinators and coaches. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait for the future. like I said, I was ready for this game to be over so we can look into the future. But, man, the way this game ended, you know, I mean, what player would not want to play for a coach like this? Now, you can talk about the city and the history of the organization, but I think the coach in front office is a positive if I'm a free agent.
Absolutely, man. That's what I was talking about. I was saying, like, this team, with this coaching staff, what you're seeing, everybody's seeing what Detroit's doing. Everybody's seeing what they're doing. So with this team, you know, you're a free agent. You're like, man, I like what they're doing there. Man, look at their – look how hard they're fighting, man. Look how hard they're playing for their coach. I want to be a part of that. I can see a lot of players feeling like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right, man. Yeah, after – I think it was Dan Campbell's first two games of calling plays – I was one of them. I was done with Dan Campbell's calling play. I didn't like it. I thought it was horrible. If Tyler was here, he probably would have threw up right now because he was done with Dan Campbell too. All he was doing is running the ball. But yeah, he was saying there was a weather and this situation. He was saying all this while he was doing it, but it was really bad. And it didn't get good until Ben Johnson got in his ear and helped him out. Ben Johnson was a big key on this offense and the way he's looking right now. And since Ben Johnson been helping out, man, this has been a totally different offense, and the players, the confidence in the players have been totally different. It's been great, man. I love it, man. Yes, this has been a roller coaster of a season, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But you know, towards the end of this whole, since last month, man, it's been good. It's been nothing but positive this whole last month since December, since the first week of December. It's been nothing but positive. So I'm definitely excited, man. I just hope that this train continues till next year, man. We can start off fast and have a good season, man. I'm just excited, man.
Yeah, it's exciting. I want to warn people too. This is still year two in a rebuild.
Year one.
It's still gonna take some time. Well, like next year. I'm talking about like next year. So like, I don't think next year's expectations should be. They should be a little higher than this year, but they're not. They should not be super high, because they're still building. It takes time to build a team, man. This team is still talent deprived. They'll have the number two pick. We'll see what they do, but it's going to take some time.
So, Pierre, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you specifically. A few weeks ago, I brought this up, saying that I could see the Lions contend for the division and the playoff spot next season. And after this game, I wanted to pose that question to you again, because I think you were the one who said exactly pretty much what you just said right now, that you don't think they will next year. But let's look at this game alone. Even in the first half, when Rodgers and the 49ers – I mean, I'm sorry. I'm watching the 49ers now. But when the Packers were playing with their full – you know, all their starters playing with the full staff. And on that first drive in particular, the Lions were actually stopping the Packers, but they weren't getting out of their way. I think, you know, there was no pass rush, right? You know, Rodgers was either getting rid of it real quick, or he was standing back there with 9 or 10 seconds to throw, because the defense, the backfield was actually covering the guys pretty well. They actually stopped him on third and long once. He had to dish it off to Adams in a slot, and one of our guys was in position to make the tackle and missed the tackle. So Adams, you know, extended it. But I think he converted on like four third downs on that first drive.
Yeah, it was something like that.
So with a little bit more better players, i.e., you know, a pass rusher, I think that that first drive where this Packers scored and maybe the rest of the game would have been tremendously different. So I think with a few free agents, not high-priced free agents, and with the top two draft picks, I think this team could contend for a playoff spot and maybe the division, especially with what's going on with the Bears and Vikings right now.
You know what? It's
cool, but like, I don't think that should be our expectation, though. I think we should still like, still say it's year two in a rebuild, right? It's obviously it's possible. What they've done this year is impressive, but they need to build on that. They need to hit on their picks. They need to sign good free agents, right? Yeah. And maybe they could probably lose some staff guys. I know they're losing Anthony Lynn, other guys, AP. Maybe could be a defensive coordinator around the league. AG could get some interviews. So, yeah, we have to look into all of that.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree, man. I'm going to say we should probably just wait, because you never know who we're bringing in on free agencies. We don't know what impact our draft you know, who he drafted is going to bring to the team. You know, anything could happen, man. If they hit on a few picks and they bring in, you know, they upgrade a few positions in free agency, anything is possible.
And their picks from this year grow more and going into next year. Like, for example, Derek Barnes is starting, playing solid football. Levi Onwuzurike improves, plays better. And you have your draft picks firing and your signings firing. So, yeah.
But that's
I guess I'm just saying, and this will be my last point, I think that this is the Lions' best opportunity of going worst to first in the last 5 or 6 years that they've had, including Patricia's first year where after they got snacks and they ended the season with like 6 out of 7 wins. And everyone thought they'd go to first the next year. I think this is the best opportunity to go from worst to first in the division than they've had in the last 6 years or whatever.
It's possible, but the Packers are still
Packers.
They're still
The Packers are still the Packers. You still gotta see what's going on with A-Rod and Devontae Adams. I don't think Devontae Adams is gonna go anywhere because that's how they're pointing out to me in the last episode that they can franchise tag him. So I don't think they're going to let him walk unless he throws a temper tantrum if Aaron leaves and is like, I want to get out of here.
Sure.
So I don't know what the Packers are going to do.
Yeah, we'll see.
We will. Anonymous, man, you got anything else, bro?
Nope, that's it.
Hey, Anonymous, man, once again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, man.
Yep.
Thanks for joining,
man. See you, fellas.
Yep. All right, we have... who follow us all the way from Spotify Green Room. We have this. That was a bad timing. We have Mike.
What up?
What's up, Mike?
What is going on, Mike? How you doing, bro?
What a win, man. What a win. What a way to finish out the year. You know, I was arguing back and forth with my friend who I, you know, we're about to start a podcast about the draft and stuff. And we were talking and he was talking about getting that draft. And I told them, you know, there's really no big difference. Everybody's kind of stressed out about them winning. You know, there's not going to be a big difference in that top four. So I'm excited about kind of where this team's headed to a lot of what you guys have been talking about point. This team's got a lot to look forward to. I'm very impressed, you know, with Dan Campbell, the play caller. I was just like you. I hated, you know, we talked about it before. I hated when he took over. I thought he was trying to just win games by running the ball. He seems like he's really built up. You know what's crazy about this team is the offensive line. I mean, they haven't played with, you know, like the all five starters. I mean, when all five starters start playing, it's going to be scary. And I hope they can keep that momentum. I'm a little bit, you know, obviously there's some other stuff, like you said. I mean, I think Pierre said it perfectly, man. I mean, we got to temper expectations. A lot of, you know, we were obviously playing against backups primarily in that second half. But the scheme of what that team does and the fight of what that team does, that tells me a lot about it. Because Pierre's right. There's not a lot of talent. And once they get talent and they play like that, that's going to create some really special things. I'm just excited with this offseason ending on a bang instead of ending on a kind of a sour note, getting blown out. That really changes the whole tune of your offseason and your programs. So I'm really excited, man. I'm hoping that somebody asks Dan Campbell the question if he's gonna, you know, coach calls.
Oh my God, don't do that no more.
if he's gonna coach, because I mean, if he's gonna call the plays, because he did an awesome job, man. I mean, like that's like Kyle Shanahan level type performancing, man. I mean, he kept what I looked for was most important is they were always kept the defense off balance. Always, like the defense didn't know what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like when we think they would run, they would pass. They just kept off schedule. It was just, I'm interested to see. Is it me or are you guys a little bit worried about DeAndre Swift, like his role? Like it almost seems like they want to do a power run offense, and his role might be diminishing. Do you guys notice that towards the end of the year?
Well, I know he was battling an injury, so I know they're easing him in. I was shocked that he's even playing these last couple of games because he was hurt, and I think he's probably still banged up, and he just wanted to go out there to try to he wanted to experience a win because he hasn't experienced a win because every time they won, he was on the shelf. So he came back kind of early, I guess, and you could see it by the number of carries. He wasn't like the RB1, as you can say, from these last couple of games.
He was in the dog.
So I'm not sure.
Wasn't he kind of in the doghouse with Dan early?
Was it the doghouse? I thought it was just injuries. I'm not sure. I want to see how training camp and everything is and who's going to be the clear-cut number one, number RB1 going into next season. I don't think he's – I'm not really worried too much about that. The only thing I'm worried about Swift is him, his availability on staying healthy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm worried about Swift.
The only thing I'm worried about is his availability. But Dan Campbell, like, from what I've read and heard, they view him as their Alvin Kamara type player. Like, that's the role they envision him to have, like a Kamara type role.
Got it.
He just hasn't been healthy. They actually love Swift.
Yeah.
From I love him too, man.
I do too. I just think they like so talented. I'm just worried that they're not viewing him the same way I think maybe the fans do, because it seems like they were kind of, you know, I mean, even when he was healthy, he wasn't getting the lion's share of the carries, except for the, you know, the one or two games where they had to because of, you know, just because of people being injured, you know. But we'll see.
Well, you got to, like, see, though, when he gets a lot of carries, he gets injured. That's what happened. So I don't think he's a guy who could do it all. I think you find a specific role for him, and he'll thrive in that role. I don't think he's a three-down back. You might think that, but he's proven that the past 2 years he can't handle the load.
You know what? I'll say, and the only reason why I say he can't is because of health reasons.
Yeah, that's health why reasons. He's talented that, to do it.
He has the talent to be a three-down back, but right. As far as, like, health-wise, you should probably limit his touches.
You know, the problem with that is that diminishes his value significantly. You know,
I mean, that's the running back these days,
you know,
man.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you're not giving running backs, if you're smart, second contracts. It's never worked. Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, but ultimately, it's like, you know, I think when we look at, like, where this team's headed, I really thought, like, he could be a player, significant player for the team. I just feel like, I don't know if they feel the same way, but, you know, I mean, you look at it, you know, Usain Brown looks like a star. Somebody mentioned that before. I mean, his ability to kind of make catches, contested catches, was great. You know, I mean, some good things. I think we still need to get some strength at the edges. I mean, they had all day to throw today. You know, like, hopefully, you know, we'll get some strength. I'm not as impressed. I know, Pierre, you love him, Barnes. I didn't see a lot from Barnes this year. I think he looks very slow. But maybe he just looks like he's a thumper. It doesn't really look like he's going to be able, but in this scheme, I don't know how much a linebacker is going to really make a big difference, but I don't know, man, I'm excited about where we're at. You know, this is huge. This is a huge draft. Like, when we think about going into this offseason, like, they have a lot of picks. Last year, they were really landlocked. People don't understand how landlocked they were because they just didn't have draft capital. You know, Bob Quinn left them with very little picks from a pick standpoint, how many number of picks they had. But going into this season, I mean, they have capital to move up, move down, move around, accumulate more picks. You know, so this is going to be a huge pick. This is going to be a huge draft for, I think, and I want to get your guys' take on this. Don't we think that this draft class was good, but was very conservative? And usually you see that from a first GM. Like there wasn't a lot of guys that, like, I guess, outperformed what we thought they were going to do. And I'm hoping that he gets better than maybe one or two solid contributors, three, if you count Aleem McNeil, like to a point where, you know, we can get some players this year, because we're going to need, to Pierre's point he made earlier, we're going to need about 5, 6, 7 new starters on defense alone. Not to mention maybe on the other side of the ball, we probably need one or two minimum, you know? And they'll bring in competition for Goff. They have to. I know Goff played better, but he needs competition. And they're going to need to bring a veteran in to really compete with him. I don't know to what extent, but, I mean, you guys agree they have to probably bring in somebody to compete with him. Not a Boyle or somebody.
You know what? I know Pierre's on that as far as bringing somebody in to compete with him. But for some reason, I think they're, as of right now, I think they're all in on Goff as far as right now. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. With Brad Holmes, I don't think Brad Holmes at a point is saying, let's bring in somebody to compete with Goff to potentially bench him. I don't see Brad Holmes wanting them to do that. And I think Dan Campbell's on that same boat, man. I think they probably would bring in a backup to be a backup. I don't see them honestly bringing in like somebody to, you know, potentially take Jared Goff's job next year. I don't think, especially Brad Holmes. Brad Holmes is too invested into Jared Goff.
Yeah,
he's too invested into Jared Goff. I don't see him doing that, especially with the last, you know, since December, Jared Goff has been playing very good football. So I don't see them saying, "Oh, let's potentially mess up his confidence by saying we kind of don't believe in you by bringing somebody in to potentially take your job." I don't see that happening.
I was thinking about that. I think they're just going to run it back with the guys they got. I think Boyle's going to be back on a 1 or 2 year deal, a lot less than what he's making this year.
Don't you think?
Maybe those.
I like that word, disaster. I like Goff, that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he had a couple good games. Yeah, I'll give him that. But he was brutal. You know, when they had a lot of their starters in, he was brutal. And before a lot of the teams he started playing had a lot of people out with COVID and other stuff, he was brutal. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he was bad. And I just hope that they understand that. Like, you know, I mean, just like we had a lot of people out and COVID was a nightmare, a lot of other teams did too. Every game he was playing, there were significant starters out, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. So I get it. And, you know, I hope that there's a thought process in there. I don't think, sadly, where we're drafting, we're going to be able to kind of pick up a quarterback and maybe look at somebody, maybe a Malik Willis later in the draft. But I honestly don't think, you know, we're going to be in position to pick somebody up. So, you know, I just think that we're going to have to run it back. But doesn't mean that we can't go out and get somebody to come in and compete a la like a Bridgewater or somebody in the event that he becomes a disaster again. We don't have any flexibility because I do understand what Pierre's talking about. But, you know, 2 years, you're going to want to see some significant improvement next year. I mean, meaning, you know, here's the thing. The division is – if Rodgers leaves, and there's a very, very, very good chance that Rodgers leaves to Denver or San Francisco, if Rodgers leaves, you've seen Glove. He looks terrible. You look at Minnesota, they're going to fire their coach today. You know, same thing with Chicago. Like, you know, like this is going to be – they're going to be almost four rebuilding teams if you count Green Bay. Now, Green Bay's got a really good roster, but they don't have that quarterback anymore. We're going to see where they're at without Aaron Rodgers. Because, you know, he creates that winning tradition that they have. If he leaves, it's a lot – obviously, it's going to be impossible to replace. But if we have four rebuilding teams in this division, it's a very winnable division. Very winnable. I mean
– I have to be honest. Why would Rodgers leave? So everything's there. The defense there. The coach is there. The receivers are there. The running game is there. The O-line is there. Why leave that
Rodgers
situation?
Has been unpredictable,
the
man.
Division is weak. The division is weak, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Chicago and Minnesota are about to rebuild. Detroit is still rebuilding. Yep. Like, they're still on top, so why would he leave that?
I think
– the thing is, Pierre, I was –
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, man.
No, go ahead, Mark. I'll follow back.
I was just going to say that it's possible if they come out flat in the NFC Championship game. If Aaron Rodgers is like, this is deja vu, I've seen this story how many years in a row that we get to the NFC Championship and we just flop, we choke, he could probably leave.
This year they look different this year though. I don't know.
They do. I mean, we're saying this right now, but they were 13-3 last year.
They
get it. Things are different. They do. They have more.
If they play a team like San Francisco, they're in deep trouble.
But
you know,
they're a lot better at run this year than they were.
They are. But Aaron Rodgers is made his. I think he's made his decision. I think he came back. You know, just reading the tea leaves, reading what he says, I think he came back on, hey, I'm coming back 1 year, no matter what happens, you're going to give me the chance to be released or whatever. That's why he came back. I just can tell you, like, I mean, he's talking about the last dance and all this other shit he's been talking about. You're asking me why would he? Yeah, you and I probably look at it saying, why the hell would he leave? But if he goes to a situation like Denver or if he goes to a situation like San Francisco, maybe not so much in San Francisco, but Denver is very winnable. You know what I mean? And that's in the AFC. I mean, his wife or his soon-to-be wife is a movie star. She's on the West Coast. I mean, who wants to live in Green Bay, man, your whole life?
I don't. I mean, when you think about Denver, though, you're in a tough division. You're playing Kansas City. You're playing Vegas.
Yep.
And you're playing LA Chargers. Yep. That's a tough division, right? You're here. You're in the NFC. The NFC is kind of weak right now. The AFC is a little more tougher, too. NFC is kind of weak. You're on top. Why would he leave that? I don't think he's going to leave that. I think – and the offseason, he was putting pressure on the Packers to make some moves. They made the moves they did, but now they're winning games, and it seems like the relationship, from what I've read, is like kind of fixed with the GM and the coach, and he's having fun. You saw him smiling on the side. He's having fun.
Yeah, you did. You did.
So
listen, man, one could hope.
He's not stressed. They're having fun.
Hey, listen, I want his ass gone. I'm sick of getting, you know, him being in this division forever. I'm looking forward to us not having to deal with that. But listen, man, I'll let somebody else get up. But like, I'm looking forward to the offseason chats. Let's get some draft shit up here soon, man, because I think we're all salivating at it. And this is going to be a really interesting year with a lot of guys declaring and a lot of picks and in an offseason that looks like there's going to be a lot of movement. So excited, man.
Yes, sir.
Coming on, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. You're
welcome, guys.
All right. We have all the way from Los Angeles. We have Monte. What is happening, Monte? What's going on, bro?
What's up, Monte? Hey, what's happening? And you're not bringing in any competition for golf. Bridgewater them. There's no competition. Come on. I'm old enough to remember when people said Wentz was better than golf.
They did. A lot of people did, and I think a lot of people still feel like that.
They're about to get surprised next year. But St. Brown, he really came on in the second half. I was really impressed with him. He lined up everywhere. He seemed to be able to figure out how to run NFL routes as the season went on. And I think you just got to love the coaching staff, from RG Pleasant to Aaron Glenn to Dan Campbell to Ben Johnson. I think the future is bright in Detroit. Even if Green Bay stays, Green Bay, you know, they're going to pay a lot of money to Devontae. They probably going to pay a lot of money to Aaron Rodgers. And that defense is a little suspect going to run it. They can be run on. So I think the future is bright for Detroit. I love what I see. And Dan Campbell, he good coach. Good coaching hire. I know people make fun of him and Nick Sirianni from Philadelphia because of their press conferences. And I think out of all the hires, those guys did the best job all year.
Man, you know what? You're onto something, man. And first thing first, man, I want to give a shout out to Monte, man. This kid, Monte. Monte is a Los Angeles Rams fan. The Rams is probably playing right now, and he's still here. Huh? You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing double duty. Your boy Stafford, he's 5-for-5 so far, so he ain't hurting us so far. So we all good. We all good right now. And I was thinking about all the quarterback movement. This trade might be the best trade out of all the quarterback movement, free agents and trades, for both teams. Clearly Stafford is what the Rams want and they're happy with. And I think Detroit is happy with Goff and the two first-round picks. I don't know if Indianapolis is happy with Wentz. I don't know if Denver is happy with Bridgewater. And there was another movement I can't think of right now. But,
Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Sam Darnold went for a second-round pick. So this might go down as a trade where both teams are very, very happy with the outcome of the trade.
Yeah, Monty, I think you're on something. Also, don't forget the third-round pick. Ifeatu Malafano, the corner, actually played okay today.
Yes.
So you're on something there. Obviously, Stafford opened up the passing game, the deep passing game for LA. And then Goff, like, he was a little off in the beginning, but then once Campbell took over play calling, Detroit is 3-2-1. And Goff has played his best football with Campbell calling the plays and with not really the best talent at wide receiver. I'm in Rossi Brown. He's good. Josh Reynolds, you have a guy who was with the Rams and the Titans and got waived. Lions picked him up. Yeah. Hockenson goes down, right? And there's Swift goes down. And they're still winning these games. They're finding ways to win these games with Goff.
No doubt.
Confidence, confidence, confidence. That's all it is right now, man.
Now, Dan, the interesting part is I was looking at free agent wide receivers. All of them hurt. So you might be able to get a good deal. Goodwin is hurt. Gallup is hurt. Juju is hurt. There was somebody else. So you might be able to steal a wide receiver on a good deal and not have to pay him much because he's coming off injury. Of course, I think you take somebody in a draft, but, you know, you might be able to steal one of these wide receivers. I like Gallup myself, but Goodwin and Juju kind of is St. Brown. They kind of do the same thing. But Gallup, I think if you can get him on a good deal, that opens up everything for Hockenson. Then Hockenson can be the good tight end that I think he is, you know, where, you know, when they played the Rams, they put Jalen Ramsey on him. You know, that, you know, you can't. But if you have another one wide receiver, that opens up for Hockenson, it opens up for St. Brown. So I think Detroit's moving in a positive direction.
Absolutely. And, you know, you notes, he's like your fourth receiver instead of your number two receiver, and you have depth now. And you got Seekers coming from injury. Now you're talking about a good wide receivers room.
There you go. All right, guys. Monte, get into this Ram game.
All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Enjoy the
game. No, no doubt.
All right. Do we have?
I think we're over time here.
We are over time. Okay. We didn't have any requests anyway. So that is a wrap to our last post game of the season. Oh man, what a bummer. This last post game of the season. But we will have some coverage on the offseason, free agency, draft. Most of that will be on your, you know, your podcast platforms, whether it's going to be Spotify, whether it's Apple Pod, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on there. Make sure to, you know, check us out weekly. We will have at least probably 2 to 3 shows on those platforms. So definitely look out for that. Off-season talk. I know a lot of people decided for that. We're going to have our mock drafts coming out soon. And yeah, man, I'm just ready for the offseason, man. It's, they ended off with a bang. The Lions ended off with a bang. And I'm just excited, man. But with that being said, man, thank you all for joining. And I am out, man. Peace.
All right, guys. Thanks for sticking with us during this season. It was a tough season for all of us, but it was fun covering the team. I know with Malcolm and Tyler, that was fun. Stay tuned for the offseason. We have a lot planned with free agency and the draft and maybe some guests coming on. And I'm out. Peace.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.